Hi, everyone. You're here with Kitty Allred and myself, David Thorne. And something just came out, and we just wanted to jump on and do a podcast and share some news that Google just dropped.
Welcome to the AI for Churches podcast. Our goal is to equip pastors and church leaders with resources related to artificial intelligence, helpful for sermon prep, creative ministries, outreach, and more. We do this by providing exclusive insights from AI experts, church leaders, and innovators actively leveraging AI to amplify the gospel and reach more people for Jesus Christ.
Kitty, why don't you tell us, what is it that Google just dropped that we want to share today?
Yeah, so Google Genie free just dropped, and Genie is an experiential experience of, it's kind of like VR, but with AI. It creates environments that you can experience. And, it has memory. So like if you paint a wall, you can walk away from that wall and it's still painted, but it creates new rooms as you walk.
Yeah.
It's kind of insane, you know?
Yeah. It's one of those things where the reason why we wanted to pause and just share this with church leaders is this is one of those things where this will impact the church. As for when and how, it may be a while. And we're not even all the way sure how, but this is a big deal. And so I feel like the best thing we could do is just share with you Google's actual video that they shared about the Genie 3. And then Katie and I will debrief with you and talk about what this means and what it could look like for churches. Cool?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's learn together about what is Google's Genie 3.
What you're seeing are not games or videos. They're worlds. Each one of these is an interactive environment generated by Genie 3, a new frontier for world models. With Genie 3, you can use natural language to generate a variety of worlds and explore them interactively, all with a single text prompt. Let's see what it's like to spend some time in a world. Genie 3 has real-time interactivity, meaning that the environment reacts to your movements and actions. You're not walking through a pre-built simulation. Everything you see here is being generated live as you explore it. And Genie 3 has world memory. That's why environments like this one stay consistent. World memory even carries over into your actions. For example, when I'm painting on this wall, my actions persist. I can look away and generate other parts of the world. But when I look back, the actions I took are still there. And Genie 3 enables promptable events, so you can add new events into your world on the fly. Something like another person or transportation. Or even something totally unexpected. You can use Genie to explore real-world physics and movement, and all kinds of unique environments. You can generate worlds with distinct geographies, historical settings, fictional environments, and even other characters. We're excited to see how Genie 3 can be used for next-generation gaming and entertainment. And that's just the beginning. Worlds can help with embodied research, training robotic agents before working in the real world, or simulating dangerous scenarios for disaster preparedness and emergency training. World models can open new pathways for learning, agriculture, manufacturing, and more. We're excited to see how Genie 3's world simulation can benefit research around the world.
Hey, Katie, I want to pause. Let's talk. I want to explain two things that we just talked about.
Yeah.
One was a talk about using text to generate environments.
Yes.
So it's one of those things that, you know, people may just heard that and they're saying, I don't even know what does that mean? So do you want to explain that?
I can. Yeah. So, you know, with any AI, you have to prompt it. And so you're basically describing what you would like to create. And so in this, you're just using words to describe some type of environment. So you can see that they've typed out a helicopter pilot carefully maneuvering over a coastal cliff with a small waterfall. And now on the right, it has generated this interactive world that they can control the helicopter. They're inside the helicopter, it looks like, and they can now fly using using their keypad. Well, and so it's insane, right? Like all this stuff is being auto-generated as it's happening, as you turn, as you interact in the world. So yeah, it's a whole new thing. And it feels very video game. Like, what is this? What does it mean for anybody can do this now? It's not just a video game creator.
Yeah. The other thing was your real-time interactivity. And it mentioned that it is generating the world as you move. And I think that's helpful to understand. That's saying, as a person is moving through whatever world it is creating, it is generating that world as that person is moving. In the same way that we're writing words into ChatGPT and ChatGPT generates a response, it's doing the same thing, except instead of generating words or pictures or even video, it's generating the full world that the person is interacting with.
And it has memory, so you can like go back and interact with it. So it's very interesting. So it means like in real time, as it's like there, they are prompting other events to happen inside of this world that they have created. Like example, they have this jet ski on the right that came through the water. David, do you have anything else you want to?
Yep. The only thing was, the memory, and that you mentioned that already, but that picture of somebody painting is just so amazing. It's just like thinking about the possibilities of what that could mean. That means as that person walks out of that, quote unquote, walks out of that room and would walk back in that room, what they painted, how they interacted with that environment would still be there. And that's a really cool thing. In the world of video games, if any of you are you know, old school video game people, there was a time where you could destroy environments, and remembering that was just such a big, amazing thing that at first the environment you were in was just, it existed. It was like bricks and mortar and you couldn't move it. And then when they introduced the idea of being able to break the environment, it was such a mind-blowing thing. This is a thousand times beyond that, of just, it's literally like a more real version of that you could do, interact with the environment and your interactions will stay as what you did, which is pretty crazy, isn't it?
It's insane to me. And you know, I think like at first I'm like, well, how will this affect the church? You know, because I'm like, will it actually? But I can see that there's going to be some use cases, and also like it's going to become more commonplace for this to be something that people talk about. It won't just be something that the kids are doing.
Yeah.
It's not that yet, but I think in the next 10 years, we're going to see more of it. Just like Meta, you know, launched Meta in general, right? Because they believed that this type of world was going to be created. And so, I'm interested to see how it's going to affect the church.
Yeah. Well, on that note, let's brainstorm and let's start with, if they mentioned some ideas. So let's talk about not the church, but just ways that something like this could be used for fun or just for general work things. So let's brainstorm there first.
What do you think you're going to use it for?
What's that?
What do you think you would like to create?
Well, okay. I would say just for, like they mentioned this, I feel like the video game people will probably figure out a way to use this first.
Yeah.
Because that's like a pretty low-hanging fruit of being able to insert playable characters into a generated world.
Yeah.
So that seems like, okay, let's get that one out of the way. Then as for how my human people use it, I think the idea of that first comes to mind would be things like HR related stuff. Mm-hmm. So hey John, we noticed when you told off your boss, that kind of hurt their feelings, and you told them they were, you know, weird looking, and you didn't like that they were bald headed or whatever, you know, hypothetically. And
right.
And so, hey, why don't we go in to have you just have a little genie session?
Yeah.
And let's have you like talk through that and explore other ways you could have handled that.
Yeah.
Besides calling them, you know, weird looking or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's one low hanging fruit I could see.
Yeah. No, I can see that for sure, especially like in HR training and other types of training, because right now all you do is watch a bunch of videos and you select like what you think you would say. And it would be much more useful if you could actually practice what you're saying. And, you know, if the world environment could react to how you're saying it. I think that would be really helpful. It would be helpful too, just to like learn how to communicate better in general, you know, do public speaking. Like, so you could like, you know, generate an audience and try to like not be afraid of the audience. Right. Cause you know, it's a fake audience. That's helpful, but it's still an audience and that's scary, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that could be a really great use. So there's definitely a lot of that. And then just like experiencing different cultures and places.
Right. Yeah. That would definitely be a very, very cool thing.
Going to space.
Yes. Yeah. You know? That's the thing I was going to ask you is, where would you want to go? You know, if you could generate something, where would you go first?
Where would I go first if I could generate something? I think Hogwarts.
Yeah. I respect.
You know, how can I generate the magical world of Harry Potter? I don't know, but it sounds like fun. And I think we could do that. Right. You know, and I have the video game and stuff, but like you have to do stuff in the video. Like I would rather just be able to like explore it. And I think being able to explore it, you know, as myself would be really interesting. Yeah.
Jump on your Nimbus 2000 or whatever and
just go after
the Quackle or whatever it's called. That in the play your broomstick game. Yeah, that's a good one.
Now, what about you?
I like Hogwarts, but I also do like video games. So there's probably various video games it would be great to have a more immersive experience as. And it could be any of them.
Yeah.
That could be Batman, playing in the video game Halo. I mean, name your classic.
Yeah.
Hitting people. Zelda. Yeah. Now, some people might say that and say, yeah, but is that real? Would it feel real? And I'll say, you know, a lot of people have bought Meta's Quest 2, which is the goggles, and it has like little hand joysticks that you hold. And if you are on the internet at all, if you are on Instagram, TikTok, whatever, at some point, or maybe it's just me, and this is, information about my algorithms, but at some point, you'll see videos of people who are wearing those and like are running into TVs, running into walls, or terrified to fall off of a building. And I love those videos. They make me laugh all the time. There's nothing funnier to me than, I don't know, people running into things or falling down. Do you see those videos, Katie, or is it just me?
I think it's just you, but I have seen them before, but they don't pop up on my feed as often, I don't think.
I haven't seen them recently. It might just be the Quest 2 maybe isn't quite as popular at this moment.
Right. Yeah, so Quest 3 has come now, and it doesn't, it has the viewfinder kind of on the front, so it doesn't want people to run into walls as much.
Unfortunately, yeah. I we have it, and so, yeah, my kids put a little protective, like, barrier around them. And I try to video them if I think they may be running into a wall. I mean, also maybe hypothetically try to tell them to not do it, but
it's also more entertaining to watch.
I at least want to report it. My point of bringing up the Quest 3 is that little headset and the little hand things, it's real enough that that people are terrified to fall off of a building. Like they're like, and that's real. And so imagine that, but it's generating a live experience. Say for work, you could be walking down the street and somebody could be outside. You could do therapy and, have a discussion with a coworker. And then somebody on the screen, the therapist, is prompting the person you're talking to or adding other stimuli into the situation. It really would be a very, very therapeutic tool to use.
Yeah. Yeah. But when it comes to the church, how might they use it, David?
Yes. So now for all of you pastors out there, what about the church? One thing, Katie and I were briefly, like when it brought up this topic, one of the things that you mentioned just briefly, I think it's a really interesting thing, is why not enter a Bible story? So what would it actually be like to be in Daniel in the lion's den?
Yeah. Or walking, behind Jesus.
Yeah. Or walking through the Red Sea.
Yeah. Or when Nicodemus that was lowered down from the ceiling?
No, it was just a man and his friends.
Okay, cool. Well, that guy, I gave him a name. Okay. What it would be like to be in that room or to be that guy that's getting lowered down from the ceiling.
Yeah, I've often thought about that. I feel like that'd be very embarrassing. So maybe if you want to live out the moment of ultimate embarrassment is, there's the guy with the weird disease and he's loping, somehow broke up the great talk we were listening to. And he just broke our roof. So yeah, if you want to live out your most embarrassing experience.
Yeah. But also you could do, just explore the biblical sites, the Jordan River or the temple, or maybe locations that Paul went to on his missionary journeys, the Church of Corinth, things like that. That you've heard a lot about but haven't ever seen. I think that could be an interesting way to use it.
That would be, because to be kind of like boots on the ground for Paul speaking to people, and then where might he have literally walked? What might it have looked for him to walk from A to B? How close were these cities and what might the trip have looked like or felt like? Those things would just be fascinating. Like the woman at the well.
Yeah.
Like these kind of stories. The woman caught in adultery. If you were there.
Following Mary and Joseph as they go to Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Registry, I think that would be interesting too.
Being at the wedding when Jesus turned water into wine.
It was a party.
Yeah. I mean, I got to join. Hey, this is a, did you guys check out the Jesus at the party, world? It's crazy. It's so much fun. I danced. They brought out, everyone was doing the YMCA. I did the YMCA with Jesus. He's a really good dancer.
Have you seen the TikTok that somebody has generated with AI of Jesus turning the water into wine and his mom kind of bugging him? Okay, I'll have to see if I can find it and send it to you, because somebody generated. It's have you seen those videos where people generate the selfie type videos where they're talking? Well, I've been on a bunch of biblical ones lately for some reason, and it's all from their perspective. And so it's Jesus talking to the camera and being okay, my mom's making me do this. Like, let's see if I can do it or whatever. And then he's like, all right, we've done it. Like,
maybe I have seen that one, but yeah, those, but imagine
being a part of it,
going into that world and, yeah. and that person is talking to you. So I guess everything we've said is one general kind of use case. There's probably a world, which we don't know if this will happen, where other people could meet each other in a generated world, which is what Meta was trying to create with Meta.
Yeah, and Horizons.
What's that?
Horizons was their like platform for that.
Yeah. And at that point, it felt more like we people or something, or just it wasn't, it didn't
steal. Yeah, it does still feel very video game-ish. Yes.
So I feel, it feels like this is the first foray into what helping that vision to become a reality. And the reason I mention that is there could be a world in which, again, I'm not saying this is healthy or good, but two friends could meet there in the Google world. A person could launch a church in there and preach to people in that environment. Again, not saying healthy, not saying good, just brainstorming possibilities.
Yeah, we don't really know the social aspect of it quite yet. You know, they haven't really launched like, oh, meet your friends here, those kind of things quite yet. Right now, it's just generating the environment. But is that on the horizon? Yes, of course. It's something that they're thinking of for sure. And it's something that is going on right now, David. Like the VR church that David Soto has, or DJ Soto, he creates virtual worlds every week where they experience the Bible and walk through those things. But again, it's still video game-ish.
Yeah.
You're still like an avatar. You're not like a person. Mm-hmm. It's still very much like experiencing a video game. It's cool, and you do create memories from it, which is very interesting that you create memories in a video game type environment. Because for the most part, I don't really remember my like video, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really remember, but there's like these big, experiences that you can have. We traveled the solar system together as a team when I was at Meta and learned together. And I can remember like, you know, somebody at work, my coworker being on my left side and like we were like talking about it or whatever. It's very interesting the future of what all of this holds. I think we're going to see it all come together soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking that here's the pathway we've gone. You know, we've gone from word generation to image generation to video generation to now world generation. I don't think anything's bigger than world, so we might be
universe.
Sure, yeah. We'll just create universes, and each.
David, you have your own universe. You have all your little planets, and people can visit them.
Yes, I. Wherever that discussion goes, that seems theologically complicated, but
it is. Yeah,
I. Just the point is, and we're just having fun, you know, kind of. It's worth noting that this is a notable thing that has been created.
And yeah.
Is going to impact us.
Yeah.
At some point here.
And one other use, you know, that I found, you know, I asked Google Gemini before we started what were some possible uses for church, and one that David and I found really interesting was using it for missions training. Like if you're going on a mission trip to a different country that has different cultural and social environments, to help your missionaries and volunteers prepare by like practicing safe interactions, whatever that might look like, or construction if they're doing it and they've never done it before, to go over some safety things so that they can experience it but not experience it.
Right.
And then like you said, like practicing those difficult conversations, doing conflict resolution, all that, I think would be really useful for a church.
100%. Yeah. Practicing language, speaking of mission trips. I mean,
Yeah, that would be awesome if you could practice a language with someone every day, like, and sit down and like literally practice the language. Like,
talk about Babbel on steroids or whatever, whatever language. Oh, Duolingo. That's another one.
Yep.
Duolingo on steroids of literally, hey, my son will say, hey, dad, I'm going to go hang out with Ammonia, my friend, and we're going to talk a language, and that'd be very, very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But of course, I mean, there's a lot of safety risk, a lot of issues that we're not sure of, like, you know, what could those conversations get into, and like, what becomes like okay and not okay. You know, I think that's all still, we're in the wild, wild west. So, you know, if it feels icky, don't do it. That's my,
your life. Is that your life mantra?
Yeah. If it feels icky, just don't.
All right. I would like that. I'll put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my rule for life. If it just doesn't feel right, just don't do it. I don't know why people find it to be so difficult, but, you know, like if it doesn't feel right to you, it's probably not right. So don't do that. But
we do a world where people eat peppers and jump off of cliffs. So there's a lot of things that, you know, people in general, it feels like kind of how I feel like in general about men. Like, why are any of us married? Like, women could do so much better. We're not a very good species as men. And I feel like that way about, like, in general, people as a whole, we're not the smartest things.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, I don't know. Somehow we're at the top of the food chain, but I don't know that we deserve it.
Yeah, I don't know that that's true either, but maybe we'll get better once we start using this.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go, Katie. So this popped up. I really thought it would be helpful for us to just jump on and just share this with pastors and churches. Just saying, Katie and I here, we had a lot of fun talking about this. Please do not hold us to any complex theological viewpoints related. If anything, we said that, you know, you ventures into a theologically complex topic, I guess just trust that we do not mean to be theologically divergent in any way, shape, or form. We're generally just having a fun conversation.
I'm not a theologian.
Well, so. I have gone to seminary, so I think I probably could not say the same thing. That is, unfortunately, I probably am a theologian, if one is, but I do not intend malintent.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I think that's fair.
Yeah. Well, thanks for hanging with us. Definitely like and subscribe and offer comments. If you have ideas of how something like Genie 3 could be used for churches, we'd love to hear your ideas too. And if you're a church looking to get started with AI, definitely check out AI for Churches. Join our Facebook group, AI for Churches, and Katie and I would love to chat with you and help your church get started using AI.